I guess I missed the memo. I forgot it was a Hawaiian shirt night until we were walking out the door. So has anybody been dealing with ants lately? We were at Taco Bell the other day, and I went and sat down at the table, and I just looking around, and there's a piece of a chip on the floor, and there's ants everywhere, all over the floor, so we had to move. But ants are actually what I'm going to be talking about tonight. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6, verse 6 says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest." So, number one, ants teach us to work together. If we're going to face this world, we got to be ready to do it together. One person in the Bible that knew how to get people to work together was Nehemiah. Now we're going to turn to a different place. We're going to go to Nehemiah chapter 4. We're going to start reading in verse 15. Nehemiah chapter 4:15, it says, "And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, everyone into his work." "And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears and the shields and the bows and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah." So Nehemiah was in charge of building the wall of Jerusalem. And he had figured out that the enemy knew what he was doing. So he decided to let half the workers work on the wall while the other half protected. So we see that everyone had their place. Think about if the workers didn't want to work and the protectors didn't want to protect, the wall wouldn't have been built. So everybody has to do their job and be in their place. We often forget that we're on the same team. When we're as Christians, we argue and complain. And we feel like it's weird to share things with each other. We come here every week, we listen to the preaching, but we don't talk about it. We listen, and after the service, it's instantly lunch or a football game. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." We should always be talking about the Bible, especially in church and to other believers. When the time comes that we face this world, we need to be ready to face it together. Which leads me to my next point. The ants teach us to prepare. Back in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 7 and 8 says, "Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest." So the ant prepares. Someone who really knew how to prepare was David. We're going to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to start reading in verse 38, and we're going to go to verse 40. 1 Samuel 17, verse 38. So 1 Samuel 17, verse 38 says, "And Samuel armed David with his, no, and Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine." So we see in verse 38 that Saul is putting his armor on David. And at first that seems like the right type of preparation for a battle, protection, but But then David is like, this is not my armor. He says, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. He hadn't trained with it. It's not something he knew. So he decided not to wear it. But in verse 40, he decides to go with something he knows. He decides to use his sling. He's gathering stones for his battle. So he's preparing. But imagine if David would have gone to fight Goliath and he forgot to prepare. He would have gone up there, faced the giant, reached into his bag to get his stones, and then I can imagine the look on his face when he realized he forgot his weapon. That's what happens with a lot of people when it comes to salvation. They keep putting it off and putting it off until the time comes when they sadly do pass away. They see the Lord and they don't have an excuse on why they should be in heaven. Another example of preparation is Paul in Galatians chapter 1, if you want to turn there. We're going to start reading in verse 13. Galatians 1:13 says, "For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again into Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days." So verses 13 through 16 is talking about, is Paul, he's talking about his conversion and his calling. He used to persecute, now he's preaching to those he used to persecute. And then in verse 18, he's talking about how he waited 3 years before he went. He used those 3 years to prepare. He used them to study and learn the scriptures. There's one similarity between Paul and David. Neither one of them were caught off guard because they prepared. That's how we should be. We should prepare, especially for spiritual battles. We need to know our weakness and learn it. Make it a strength. So number one, ants teach us to work together. Number two, ants teach us to prepare. And then we have number three, ants teach us to work hard. We must be hardworking to accomplish the tasks that God has given us. One of the most hardworking people in the Bible was Noah. Genesis 6, if you want to turn there, we're going to be reading Genesis 6, 13 through 22. Okay. It says, "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. With lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And of everything of all flesh, living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him. So did he. That's a big piece of scripture, but it's important because all of that information is instructions that God's giving to Noah. And in verse 22, it says, thus did Noah. Thus, talking about that whole instructions. He did all that God commanded him. Not only was he a hard worker, but he was obedient. We should be the same. Noah was able to work so hard because he stayed focused. Which leads me to my next point. Ants teach us to focus. Always focus on the task at hand. In Ecclesiastes, we find Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived and the richest, talking about how he gave himself to pleasure and money and worldly things. And in the end, it was all vanity. Would you say he got distracted? And in Luke 15, the prodigal son got distracted by foolishness and spent all of his inheritance. And then we have Peter, while walking on water, stayed focused on Jesus and was able to perform that miracle until he took his focus off Jesus.
Yeah.
That happens to us with our ministries. If we're just doing it for ourselves, we're taking our focus off Jesus, we'll fail every time. So we need to stay focused. Number 5. Ants teach us to bounce back. Have you ever squished an ant and then you throw it on the ground and then it like gets back up? It gets back up. It's rare, but sometimes it does. Or you kick an ant hill and then the next day it's built back up.
Yeah.
We need to bounce back after hard times. We shouldn't let it keep us down. Like Joseph, who went from being a slave and a prisoner to being second in command over all Egypt. He remembered that God was his true leader. Like Job, he lost everything. He lost his children. He lost his health and his animals. But he remembered who was in control. And he was abundantly blessed by God. But the ultimate bounce back, Jesus. He was beaten, whipped, crucified, and then he died. But that's not the end. He conquered the grave and he's still alive. No matter what you've been through, don't let it get you down. Get back up for Jesus. So let's work together. Let's prepare for Jesus' second coming. Let's work hard. Let's stay focused on God's will. And when things seem like they can't get any worse, bounce back. Let's bow for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving me the opportunity to come here and preach your word, Lord. I pray that everybody got something out of this. And I pray that tonight when we eat ice cream, that everybody can have a good time in fellowship, Lord. I pray that everybody gets safe when they go home. In Jesus' name, amen.